This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by American Crawl Space and Pest Services. Lots of news happening all around the world, but especially here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So the city of Seattle is hiding details about a tiny house village in the South Lake Union neighborhood. But I have been able to confirm with the help, and really she took the lead on this, Lindsay Sheldon over at Cairo 7, an awesome reporter who's been doing a lot of the legwork on this, and I'm just piggybacking on some of the stuff she's doing. We can now confirm it's coming to Aloha and 8th Avenue. It'll be 40 to 50 tiny homes, and it's going to be low barrier, which is just a cute way of saying you can have drugs and alcohol in your home. This is a tiny home village for people who are living with abuse. A tiny home village that is about a block from thousands of apartment units. A block from a dozen restaurants, cafes, different businesses like Facebook. This is directly across the street from a hotel. So a nice point of reference for visitors will be this tiny home. This tiny home village in Seattle. This is meant to be a direct screw you to Amazon and people who live in the South Lake Union as the city tries its hardest to normalize this type of settlement. Now, it's going to be in partnership with the Low Income Housing Institute, which runs or helps run that tiny home village in Ballard where that rapist used to live before he was caught. The rapist who decided to viciously rape a poor woman in a Ballard bathroom at a car dealership. He's been arrested. We talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll talk about it again in the 8 o'clock hour. Now, the problem with this particular tent encampment or tiny home encampment is no one in the community was told about it in any meaningful way. Now, I did manage to get my hands on a single flyer that one local business was able to get and then spread it around. But these flyers weren't posted anywhere in Seattle. These flyers weren't individually handed out to these businesses. There was no meaningful way to tell the community about what they've already decided. No one in the community was asked to give their opinions about it. And then the city, when I asked about it, I'm now on my 8th or 9th try to get them to confirm this tent city and a meeting they say is supposed to happen on May 31st, they refuse to give me any information. They refuse to give Cairo 7 any information. Now, the flyer in question says the tiny home village will open in the summer. Will open. Not might open. Now, we're considering whether or not we're going to put this here on the city-owned land. It will open in summer. So Cairo 7 reached out and said, what's going on? And they got a statement back that was just a form letter that didn't respond to any of the questions that I asked about this. I got the exact same statement. They just copy and pasted it from the Cairo 7 email into the KTTH email. But the flyer says, hey, there's a meeting on May 31st. And if you're telling me, if the city is saying now, well, this tent city or this tiny village, it's not yet confirmed. We haven't made a definitive answer yet on this. Well, is the May 31st meeting still happening? I'm just trying to find that out. I've asked eight times, whether or not there is going to be a meeting on May 31st. Because if that is happening, I want to be there, and I want to bring some of you with me. And not just people who live in Seattle who are directly impacted, but by the people who live right now in Bellevue or in Shoreline and Marysville. Because you guys understand that if Seattle gets away with this kind of nonsense, your politicians in your neck of the woods are going to do this exact same thing because they know there are no consequences to this kind of behavior. So this impacts you. It's not just a Seattle issue. If Seattle all of a sudden has a whole bunch of these tiny houses, low barrier ones, what do you think is going to happen when Tacoma deals with this homelessness situation that Seattle is? What do you think is going to happen? They're going to open one there. They're going to open one in Federal Way. It's going to come to Burien and Bothell and Kent. That's what's next. And so all I've been doing is just, can you tell me if there's a May 31st meeting? Nothing has been settled. We have yet to decide whether or not we're going to do this tiny home community. Yeah, no, I got that. Thank you so much. but can you tell me specifically if there is going to be a meeting on May 31st? I asked that of Karen Koh of the Seattle Neighborhoods Department. No response. In fact, she just told me via email, oh, I forwarded this on to staff members to get an answer. Is there a meeting or not? No response. Then I get an email, and this was a big email with that statement, and boy, they CC'd a whole lot of people. I got it from Meg Olberding. She apparently is the Director of External Affairs for the Human Services Department. Did not answer my question. She just gave me that statement that they sent to Cairo 7. May 31st, is there a meeting or not? Lois Mag, Stephanie Formas, Kamaria Hightower all CC'd on this. I then sent another response to them because I've been calling, no answer, no response. I emailed them yesterday back, just tell me if there's a meeting. Oh, that's all I'm asking. No response. So I sent another email. I sent one this morning, and I put my little vague threat of a public disclosure request. I'm going to get every single email that all of those people on that email list have received in the last week, and I'm just going to put it online. I'm going to have your help in getting an answer, doing some of this research, because they're going to document dump all this stuff just to hide the truth, which is they are lying about this tiny home encampment. They are lying about whether or not there's a meeting on May 31st because they want to silence us. They want to silence me. They want to silence you. They do not want people showing up to this meeting and speaking out against this tiny home encampment. They want to just be able to do it under the radar. So in 2 months from now, when they build this thing, they can say, what are you talking? Why didn't you show up to the meeting? We had a meeting. Why didn't you show up to tell us you didn't want it? That's what they do. That's what they do. And so now I need your help. I need your help. Because they're not listening to me. And they think they can get away with that. Now, I, in general, represent you, right, in a sense. I'm trying to get information so I can give to you, and you're able to make up your own mind. But they're ignoring me, which means they're ignoring you. But the difference is, I'm one voice. I can only send so many emails or make so many phone calls. You can help. You can make lots of phone calls. You can make lots of emails. And so what I want you to do, if you care about taking back Seattle, if you care about protecting your neighborhoods, your cities, from the nonsense that happens in Seattle, I want you to make that phone call. I want you to send that email. If you text me right now at 1-800-465-8770 and you include the keyword homeless, send the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770. You will get Meg Olberding's information. You'll get her office number, her work cell phone, and her email. I would love it if you would politely ask her whether or not there is going to be a meeting on May 31st and ask them for information on this tiny house encampment, because they're ignoring me. Now, I would love it if you would CC me when you send those emails. And please don't fall into this trap of being rude. Do not be rude. Do not make any threats. Don't use any vulgarity. Just very politely demand an answer to this question. Is there a meeting on May 31st to discuss the tiny home encampment? Yes or no? If you send me a text with the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you all of her information, and you can do it this morning. You can do it when you get to the office. You can do it when you take your lunch break. Give them a call. Do not let them get away with this. They do it because you allow it. And I'm sick and tired of having these conversations with you every single day and hearing you complain the way that I complain about all of these things happening. Well, here's an opportunity for us to actually get together as a united unit, a team, to reach out and put the pressure on them, because we can stop this. We can get answers. We could show up to these meetings and start speaking out. Because we know for the longest time, the only ones who show up to these meetings, the only ones who are activists in the communities, are very loud but few people who are progressive activists, who are progressive ideologues. They are ruining this region. They're passing an Amazon head tax. They passed it. That's going to hurt businesses. Democrats and Republicans are speaking out against this in the entire region. What happens in Seattle does not stay in Seattle. Boy, do I wish it did, because then it would be really easy for all of us to kind of just move on and say, you know what, we will let them ruin their own city. But the policies that happen here, they spread. The impacts of what happens in Seattle spread. And it's now on us, regardless of where we live. So don't tell me, don't send me a note from Kirkland. Don't send me a note from Maple Valley. saying, oh, this is not my issue. Don't send me a note from Bainbridge Island. It's like, oh, I'm separated. You're not going to be able to get to me. This is spreading, and we're allowing it to spread. So let's actually do something about it. Again, text the keyword homeless to the number 1-800-465-8770. You'll get this woman's email address and her phone number. Politely ask her whether or not she can confirm this meeting on May 31st. If you send her an email, you should CC me. I put my email address in this text as well. You'll have all of this information. We need to do something. Because you know what happened on Monday? A woman was raped by a dude who's living in a homeless tiny village in Ballard who they didn't even check to see if he had any warrants out for his arrest, which he did. Do we want that spreading? Do we want this to happen in all of our other neighborhoods? Do we want the lunacy of Seattle to come to where you live? I say no. I say it's time to fight back. I say text the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770. If they're going to ignore me, let's see if they can ignore you. Because right now we have thousands of people listening to the show. If every single one of you made one phone call or one email, they cannot ignore us. Let's see them try. Text the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for listening. We're live in the Online Training Academy studio. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate your response to that last segment, because we have received well over 100 text messages. I gave the number out three times. We got over 100 people saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of what's happening in Seattle. I'm scared that it's going to spread to my neighborhood. Some of you actually live in Seattle and are impacted by this. I'm directly impacted by this. I live about a block away from this tiny home encampment, which is going to be low barrier, which means they're going to allow people who are drug abusers and alcoholics to live there, which kind of gives me pause as I leave my house every single day at 3:30 a.m. in the morning, which gives a lot of people pause when they just want to go outside for a walk, enjoy some of the unusually nice weather we have around this time. Go ahead and walk with their kids to Lake Union Park, which this is a block away from. Walk at night with your dog who needs to go to the bathroom at 10:30 p.m. It seems to me like you and I should have a say in whether or not we are including these tent encampments in our own neighborhoods. It seems to me that the city shouldn't be hiding this. They should be able to confirm whether or not there is a community meeting on May 31st, which they refuse to do after multiple chances. Between calling and email, I'm up to number 8 or 9 times trying just to get them to confirm that there's a meeting on May 31st. They won't confirm it because they don't want to do more than the bare minimum. And this is what they do. They set up meetings that are for the community to show up to. But what they end up doing is they make sure the right types of people show up. So it seems like people are backing their ideas. And then when you, who didn't even know this meeting was happening in the first place, find out, oh, they're opening a tent city. Why didn't anyone tell me? They'll say, why didn't you show up to the meeting? Well, it's because you're being dishonest about it. It's because you're hiding it. And you're not going to hide it anymore. When I find out stuff like this, I'm now going to use you as our army. The polite army. The ones who will politely email and call our city officials, whether we're talking about Seattle or Olympia or Bremerton or Bellingham. We're going to start doing something about this. And I'm seeing the emails now come in because you guys are CCing me on them. Just simply trying to find out, is there a meeting on May 31st? Yes or no? If you want to engage in this kind of activism, because we've been sitting back for way too long and this is a result. More tiny encampments with low barriers. More taxes on businesses and people and home. You and I have been quiet for too long. And we allow them, we enable them to do this because we don't fight back. So I ask that you politely call, politely email Meg Olberding, the Human Services Department, the woman who is refusing to answer my question about whether or not there's a May 31st meeting to discuss this tiny house encampment in the Seattle area. Just email her, call her. Text the word homeless to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword homeless, just homeless, to the number 1-800-465-8770. We'll give you her information so you can send that email once you get to work, once you can do it safely on your cell phone. Send her an email and CC me. Look at, oh, the emails are coming in. I love it. Shout out to Craig, Sarah, Victoria, Martin, Diane, and Anna, who just in the last 5 minutes sent emails and CC'd me, simply saying, here, this is a perfect email. Meg, is there a meeting on May 31st regarding the tiny home encampment? Yes or no? I love that. Keep this up. They can ignore me. I'm a lowly morning show host. They can't ignore all of us. Text the keyword homeless to 1-800-465-8770.
With inflation creeping up around the corner, it looks like now's a great time to get in on the ground floor and buy some gold. Hi, I'm Brian with Northgate Rare Coins. We've been doing an honest family business for over 40 years. We've had customers coming in for generations.
You know, I shop here as a businessman. I get the absolute best prices, the honesty, the integrity of Northgate Rare Coins. I wouldn't shop anywhere else.
Because it's the best place I've found for the best prices.
Don't get caught without gold, silver, or other precious metals in your portfolio. Call us today at 206-364-0090. And we'll explain the market advantage of gold, silver, and all the other precious metals. 206-364-0090. We want to thank all the KTTH listeners for putting up with all the ads we've been doing and for all the great business that we've seen from it.
Northgate Rare Coins is the place to buy and sell your precious metals and get top dollar for your gold and silver. And there's always free expert appraisals. Call or stop by today. 206-364-0090. NorthgateCoin.com.
Beat the summer rush. Call State Roofing today about a composition roof and they'll start on it within a week. Plus, pay zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for a full year. StateRoofing.com.
State Roofing. Call them and pull down to roof.
Hey, Medheads, did you know Tubcove has completed nearly 50,000 tub and shower area remodels in its 45-year history? Wow, this is Michael Medved recommending a local one-day bathroom makeover company and your complete source for beautiful bathroom and shower renovations. Don't just take my word for it. Check out Tubcove reviews online and also at Tubcove.com. Here is the Tubcove promise. They will completely redo your bath or shower area, just as they did for my son, and they'll do it for less than $6,000. That includes a new tub or shower mixing valve, seamless wall surround, and glass doors. Of course, it's a lot less if you do some of the work yourself or you only need a partial makeover. So when their competitors give you a $10,000 to $15,000 quote, remember Tubcove, because those competitors only make Tubcove look good. Please call Tubcove to save money with a free and firm quote at 206-522-1711. Call now, 206-522-1711, or research them at Tubcove.com, and remember to check their customer testimonials at Tubcove.com.
Is this the time of year you stress over your basement flooding again? If you're unable to use your basement or feel that you're risking mold exposure from water intrusion, Robbins & Company has an affordable and permanent solution to your drainage problem.
Robbins & Company, R-O-B-B-I-N-S.
Hey, it's Todd Herman for Dr. Lee Yardley, D.C. You know, in the welcome area at Dr. Yardley's office at the Yardley Institute, I get to chatting with patients, and I've seen back pain. I've seen people who had crippling headaches. One thing that didn't occur to me is how bad carpal tunnel can be when you spend a lifetime at the keyboard, particularly at the keyboard, back and forth from a keyboard to an emergency room. And I chatted with a woman who is an emergency room nurse, and she had that experience of these really gripping moments and then having to go over and enter things on keyboards. And for her, Dr. Yardley provided the relief that she couldn't get anywhere else. And this always happens in a very gentle, non-invasive way. That's been my experience with Dr. Lee Yardley as well, and I just guarantee it will be your experience. Look, if you've suffered long enough, don't do this any longer. Go see Dr. Lee Yardley. Call 866-529-1105. Get in and experience this gentle, non-invasive care of Dr. Lee Yardley at the Yardley Institute. Call 866-529-1105.
From the Online Trading Academy studio, this is AM 770 KTTH.
We are so close to the big local, but first it's time to get you to work the right way with Right Way Traffic.
520 is the bright spot in this commute. I'm not seeing any delays on it from stem to stern in any area, but we do have a lot of congested traffic in most of our areas, especially coming up from the south end through the S-curves and along Boeing Field. Southbound 405 is pretty much a parking lot from Filbert down to the express toll lanes. They maxed out at $10 quite a while ago. This report brought to you by Staples. They can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a reflection of your company and designed to impress clients for less. Custom printing at Staples. Standout materials equals outstanding results. Staples. That's AM 770 KTTH traffic.
Bellevue tries to woo Amazon in a toll at the Oregon border? They might consider that. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
So look, the local media tends to focus on what's happening in Seattle. They're hyper-focused on Seattle. And what that means is they end up ignoring all the important and interesting and, yeah, sometimes quirky stories happening all around Washington State. So 7:30 weekday mornings right here on the Jason Rance Show, we do something called The Big Local, where we talk about you and focus on the communities you live in, and we ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this morning in Bellevue, where their mayor, John Chelminiak, says the doors to business in our city actually open. Come to Bellevue. He's made these statements in an interview with GeekWire. And obviously, it's coming from the context of Amazon being hit with a head tax alongside 561 other businesses in the Seattle area. And so the mayor of Bellevue is like, hey, come here. We are way more hospitable to you. I found out Amazon is apparently ready to lease out office space in downtown Bellevue. And so maybe that's where they next decide to spread in the region, because it's unlikely, of course, that Amazon, just in the course of a day or two or a year or two or a decade, will just pack up and leave. It doesn't quite work like that. As much as I know that they would like to, as much as I know that they would like to find a city that's more hospitable to them, they can't just go up and leave. What they can do is set up an extra headquarters, HQ2, which they will, outside of this region, grow there, and then slowly over time move their Seattle folks either to HQ2 or to some of the other offices around the Western Washington region that they're going to set up. It sounds like they're doing so. They're starting that process in Bellevue. But he's not, the mayor of Bellevue isn't simply just saying, hey, businesses, come to us. That's not all he's doing. He's offering the exact same warnings that we've been hearing from Democrats and Republicans alike in the region about the message that this sends to businesses. That's the key issue, he said. What message is it sending? People recognize Seattle as the hub of this area. If you're outselling yourself somewhere, you're going to say that you're in the Seattle area because people recognize the name Seattle. And that's a really good point, because for all the pro-business attitudes in a Bellevue or a Tacoma or a Bothell and Burien, whatever it happens to be, when Amazon's out there trying to recruit a coder from UT Austin or ASU or Georgetown or wherever, what do? They say we're located in Seattle. Even if their businesses might be located in Bellevue, because most people haven't heard of Bellevue outside of the region. And so what happens in Seattle and the news that comes out of Seattle ends up impacting everybody. You think if you're a business out of Kent or Renton or Bothell, you're going to be able to get the same kind of excitement from a potential recruit by saying the name of your city versus Seattle? Because outside of this region, they get really excited about Seattle. So when we talk about how this impacts everyone, from the businesses in Issaquah to the businesses in Tacoma, this is what we mean. Wall Street Journal had a story out just slamming Seattle, saying their message to the business community is a big F you. That impacts you guys who live in Spanaway, who live in Olympia. Mark Mullett, state senator, was on the show yesterday. You can download it at ktth.com. He talked as a business owner, a small business owner, how this is going to hurt him. His businesses are in Issaquah. This is important, and you have to pay attention. Apparently, you also have to pay attention. This sort of shocked Jacob and I. There's an article where was it? The Colombian?
Yeah.
So, apparently, this is the title. Tolling at the Washington-Oregon state line is tentatively on hold. I'm glad it's on hold. Because I've never heard of this. Are we tolling people going over the border? It makes it sound like if you're someone who's driving down to Portland for a long weekend or a Sounders game or whatever, all of a sudden you're like, I'm getting tolled? What? So apparently, it's Oregon that's doing this. This has nothing to do with Washington State. They've got this committee of individuals together, although Vancouver, Washington-based voices are represented in this. They're considering a host of tolling options that seem similar to the express toll lanes that we have on the Greater East Side from Linwood into Bellevue, where you've got a bunch of congestion, so you want to get like one or two lanes that's tolled, and that's supposed to offer you a quicker way of getting around the actual traffic and congestion and getting into wherever it is you're going. That's what they're talking about here. So it's not technically a border toll, but it kind of feels like this is a loophole because some of the options they're considering included tolling the entire lane. So that means if you are from Washington State and you're just trying to go to Oregon, unless they give you some sort of exemption because you have your plates that are Washington-based, which I sincerely doubt they'll do that because it turns out governments like taking money from people and the toll system almost never works the way it's intended to, and you'll actually get three times the amount billed to your account even though you only went through once. That seems like a loophole in what I assumed, maybe incorrectly, was illegal, which is you can't charge people to go to travel from state to state, right?
Right. My understanding is that that's the Commerce Clause.
I don't think that that's true, though. I think the Commerce Clause is technically at work here, but that usually has to do with commerce, and I don't know if it counts for us.
I don't know.
I'm in that position where it sounds like you can't do that.
The Commerce Clause describes an enumerated power listed in the United States Constitution.
Duh.
The clause states that the United States Congress shall have power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Wait, that means that they can do those things? Oh, wait, they can... I don't know, man.
You want to get Rob McKenna on the line?
Yes.
Or do you still want to try to figure out whether or not the Commerce
Clause applies
here?
I'm just going to spend some time on Wikipedia
We could have you spend hours and still not understand it. Or we can make a simple call to Rob McKenna who will be like, oh, no, they can't do that. Or, yeah, they can. Here's why. I mean, it's up to you. I don't micromanage your day.
Mm-hmm.
You get to spend as much time or as little time.
I shouldn't have looked into it. I feel like when you bring up the Commerce Clause, you sound like a smarter person than you really are.
You just said Commerce Clause during the break, and I knew what you were doing. And I played into it because I knew exactly why you said it and what your intentions were. And I wanted to hang you out to dry.
Nice.
Can we go to Kent for a moment?
Yeah.
Because a dude in Kent came up with a master plan to liven things up. After dark, essentially, in the downtown Kent Historic District. Like, it's kind of low-key, and they want to make it a little bit more exciting. So he went around and got a whole bunch of businesses to add roofline LED lights. So you just put LED lights on the roofs of all of these individual businesses. He got 51 buildings in the area to put up lights, and it seems like it's a lot more lively. And dude got an award, because you put up lights and you get awards.
Yeah, I guess there's a word for that.
I get nothing. I am starting a revolution in Seattle today, going up against tent encampments. I'm not going to get an award. Dude puts up some LED, he puts up Christmas lights.
You've been complaining about the lighting in this studio for the entirety of the time that we've been in here.
To be fair, I complain because someone moves the lights from my spot, which means I can't see anything.
Just ask this guy to install some LED lights.
The lights are already there. I should get an award for having to step up there and move the lights all the time.
It doesn't benefit anybody
but
you.
The Kent Reporter reports that Mike Miller, chair of the KDP, Kent something, something, Economic Development Committee, came up with the idea to light up the roof lines and has led the drive to get more businesses involved. Miller received a recognition award for his volunteer work at the annual Washington State Main Street Conference in April in Port Townsend. Mike literally drives through downtown every chance he gets at night to be sure the lights are lighted. If they're not, then he contacts the appropriate person of that business property to be sure they get repaired. So the dude doesn't even trust the companies to put the lights up. And maybe some companies are like, our electric bill is super high. And so they turn it off one night. He strolls by. he sends the most angry email you've ever seen. Then he gets on the phone. He's all like, so I was walking by your business the other day, and I noticed the lights weren't on. How might we fix that?
It'd be a shame if someone were to smash your windows because you didn't turn on your lights as you promised.
Walks up to the CEO of a business who's going into a gym with his little girl and says, it'd be a shame if something happened to your daughter, wouldn't it?
Oh, gosh.
The Stormy Daniels. It's Michael Avenatti.
Yes.
No, I'm sure he's a good dude. They say it was while driving past a Covington shopping center a few years ago that Miller got the bright idea to light... Oh, I see what you did there. Got the bright idea to light up the roof lines in downtown Kent. One side of the street was all dark, but there were bright LED lights on the other side, Miller said in an interview. So it's not even an original idea. He stole it from Covington. So we're giving an award to people who steal other people's ideas?
Yeah, it's a plagiarism award. If that were the case,
then I should have a ton of awards. But to be fair, other people should also have a ton of awards for stealing my stuff. I mean, but good for him. The truth is, I get angry when other people get recognized for anything when I don't.
Even though you're I mean, you've clearly done nothing to deserve this particular award.
I've donated my time, okay. Just not to lighting up the businesses in Kent. But I mean, if that's all, I'll go around the East Lake neighborhood where our studios are, and I'll just say, hey, let's put Christmas lights on the top of our buildings.
Board Up HA informed me that it's the Privileges and Immunities Clause that I was that I meant to reference, which prevents a state from treating citizens of other states in a discriminatory manner. Got to the bottom of it with AJ's help.
Did we, or did he just copy and paste that from a blog site?
Yeah, it's Wikipedia. Are we,
did you fact check what he just said?
No, I Googled
AJ
it.
AJ could just be throwing you under the bus. You know, here's how you know it's real. If it was fake, he would have said, you don't have to credit me. You can take all the credit. You should show Jason.
Yeah.
Live in the Online Trading Academy studio, it's the Jason Rand Show. Good morning. Thank you so much for all of the text messages. We'll remind people how they can get involved and fight some of the nonsense happening in the Seattle area. I've gotten like 30 emails in the last 10 minutes from people reaching out to the city of Seattle. Before we get to that, I have to talk about something that's happening in Timmonsville, South Carolina, where the NAACP chapter president, Reverend Gerard Moultrie, he claims that he was racially profiled by a cop, that he was mocked. He was accused of having drugs on him. What did he do? All he did was he was driving black in a wealthy neighborhood that he happened to live in because he's able to afford it. And in this Facebook post that, by the way, has since been deleted, which is never a good sign, usually foreshadows a little bit of something. It said, tonight, and this is all in caps, tonight I was racially profiled by Timmonsville officer because I was driving a Mercedes-Benz and going home in a nice neighborhood. In the post, he says, you know, tomorrow they will hear from me. And so he posted in this Facebook claim the allegations, and all hell broke loose. And he put in a transcript of the conversation. Of course, we know it's a loose transcript. He's going by memory. And I thought we would go over it. I'll play the reverend.
All right.
Because I don't trust you playing a reverend. Because
you trust
godless,
me to play the police
and I'll
officer?
Have you play the cop.
All right.
Don't be, you know, you got to lean into this. So I'm the reverend. And this is presumably after the cop knocks on the window and I roll it down.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. How can I help you?
I'm stopping you because you failed to put on a turn signal, and do you have any drugs in the car?
Good. Okay, we got to switch.
I'm a nice...
Okay,
you're
the reverend.
What?
Start over. I'm the cop. You're the reverend. Go.
Hello, sir. How can I help you?
I'm stopping you because you failed to put on a turn signal, and do you have drugs in the car?
Sir, how would you know if I used my turn signal when you were approaching me as I turn and... Wait.
Is there any drugs in your car?
Is there any drugs in your car?
License and registration!
Sir, can I take off my seatbelt and get it?
Sure.
As I opened the glove box, I said, so that's the script's a little, he's giving directions in the script. Sir, this is a new car I just purchased, and all I have is the bill of sale, insurance, and registration. I'm transferring tags.
Okay, where you work? Who car is this? Why are you in this neighborhood?
Sir, I'm a pastor, and I live in the house on the left.
And I guess I'm Bill Gates.
I don't say anything.
Oh, yeah, then this is dot, dot, dot. You need to park this vehicle and never drive it till you get it straight with the DMV. Sounds, I mean, I probably was not as mean as the officer would have been based on this transcript.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that that officer, his name is Chris Miles, he was wearing a body camera. Does not go well for the reverend.
Hey, how are you? I'm all right.
Like the nicest cop right off the bat. This is like, hey, how's it going, man? Nice to see you.
Hey, how are you? I'm all right. I'm Officer Miles with the Timminsville Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Got your life stress proof insurance on you.
I'm losing it.
Okay, that's fine. Get right ahead. You got your driver's license on you, Mr. Jamie? But the reason why I'm coming in contact with you is whenever you took the left right here, you didn't signal. Okay, that's the only reason why I'm coming in contact with you, okay?
It's a little bit different than the transcript. Like, just right a little bit.
I hope the, and I guess I am the Bill Gates is real.
Well, we've got the full exchange.
Yeah,
here we
see.
Go.
All right, Ms. Bolger, here you go, okay? Registration. Try not to drive the car no more until you get the proper documentation, because this registration has to come back to a 1992, okay, GMC truck. Yes, yeah. Even in the system is that, too. But what I'm saying, you got to have the proper registration and everything and insurance and all that stuff to actually indicate that that plate comes back to this motor vehicle, okay? Because when I run the plate, it's still coming back to this. It's not coming back to your car.
Okay, I understand that. But look, I just bought the car the other day. I switched the tags.
Well, you probably need to go to the DMV and ask them how come it's not registered in the state of South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles. It's still coming back to that truck.
I understand that, but this is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I switched the tags from the truck to the car. They told me at DMV, the dealer put that on there to show that the tags going to be transferred.
Right.
And all I need to do is keep this registration in there.
Mm-mm.
And this bill is there.
They told you wrong. You got to have the proper documentation in your motor vehicle that actually matches the car that you're operating on South Carolina highways in order for it to actually be legal to operate on South Carolina highways. They told you wrong, okay?
All right.
Other than that, there's your driver's license. Just make sure you wear your seatbelt at all times while operating the motor vehicle on South Carolina highways and drive safe, okay?
He even ended it by being really sweet.
Yeah, and I made a point of keeping in basically every word that they said, just because I mean you can edit out stuff.
Sure.
Like if he did actually say something mean, and none of the video footage that I had to work with did I find anything that really
it didn't happen, and it's sad that this reverend of all people had to turn this into a issue of racism and police brutality and police misconduct and whatever. I get that that's the context in which a lot of people will view interactions with cops. He did everything not only by the book, he was polite the entire time. Like, everything about this went the way you would hope it would go. And yet, the officer is then labeled basically a racist by a reverend who happens to be the NAACP chapter head. That's just, it's sad. It's just sad. And we don't give people a pass just because they're a reverend. Shame on this guy. Talk about... whatever. I really did want the Bill Gates line in there too, though. I'm not going to lie. That would have been fun. It's a Jason Rancho.